on me. We shouldn't sit with our heads hung down. Christ is with us now. He's giving strength to his bride each day. Since this true way she's found, and the manifested Son
praise the Lord.
So why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me.
So good.
The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me.
I was blind.
Message found me. So then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of his mercies on me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. The brother preached last Wednesday.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yes, he did.
I forgot what I wanted to sing. I know what I want to sing. Because I want to sing it Wednesday and I didn't get to. 223. Amen. In the courses. 233, sorry.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, go ahead.
Every time I come in here, my goal is to be 1% greater. You know, that's one thing that James always said. Each and every day, you know, you just want to get 1% greater. And I was like, you know what, Lord, that's my desire. Whether it be me raising my hand one more time, that's 1% greater. Whether me be clapping my hands, it's 1% greater. Me coming up in here and trying to testify, that's 1% greater. And, you know, and I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. Amen. And I also, you know, I was just sitting there thinking about this morning when James was saying how Adam told him, you do this. I do this for me. I don't do this for you.
Right.
You know, and I was sitting there thinking, like, sometimes I want to sing a song, and I'm like, no, you know, you know, you can't sing on key. You know, you may forget the words. And I was like, but I don't do it for you. I do
come
it
on,
for me.
Come on.
You know, and sometimes I want to walk around the church, but I'm like, you know what? They're about to end the song. I'm going to look silly. But I was like, I do it for me. I don't do it for you. You know, and I was like, you know what, Lord, thank you for that constant reminder, you know, that it's a personal revelation.
Yes.
It's not about you. It's about me. You know, with that being said, you know, there's a song I wanted to sing, and I kept thinking, I was like,
come on.
You know, it's a choir song, and I was like, you're gonna sound silly. I was like, but you know what, Pastor Moore also said, if you see your brother or sister struggling, come and help them out. You know, so I was like, you know what, yeah, I'm covered from that base too. You know, so you know, Lord help me.
Amen.
Makes no difference what the problem, I can go to God in prayer. Yes, I have this blessed assurance. I can go to God in prayer. He may take my gloom and sorrows, turn my life into day. He will comfort, strengthen, and keep me. I can go to God in prayer. I can call him when I need him. Abba Father up in heaven. I can go to God in prayer. I can go to God in prayer. Sometimes my burdens, they get so heavy, God save me.
Didn't I walk on the water? 233.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Player, you just put the link.
No, there's no line.
Sorry. I just want to say it's grateful to be back in the House of Correction.
Yes.
I kept hearing, and I'm not a minister or anything, but what kept coming to me, and I didn't realize, I mean, I knew it was in the Bible, but I didn't realize how it was in the Bible. And that was about the overcoming by the testimony. And that's why I'm up here.
Amen.
Because I wasn't going to come up here, but I've overcome a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What I found out is it's in Revelations 12,
yeah.
Verse 11. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just that they overcome by the word of their testimony, but they overcame the problems by the blood of the Lamb first.
Uh-huh.
And then... the
Amen.
Testimony, the praising of the Lord for being here,
right. For
being able to hear his word. That's what's been bringing me through. And it's like one of my sisters told me, she said, you know, it's got to come full circle. Well, sometimes when you go through something and you already know God's going to provide, you know, it's like, okay, well, I know it's provided, but it's got to come full circle for me to see how. Because it's not in my way, it's in his way, it's in his timing. And I am just grateful to be here. I'm grateful for all the correction that I've been receiving.
Yes.
And you know, I'm one of those people that I know as long as he's correcting me, I still have work to do. I'm good. I can improve every day, like Sister said, and that was a beautiful song, and I thank her for that, because that
Amen.
Helped me. You know, 1%. I can do 1% every single day.
Amen.
I will do 1% better. And then, you know, one day maybe I'll get to the point where I can get 2%. You know, and I'm just gonna keep on. Until I rapture,
because
I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever he wants me to do here. I'm ready for what he wants me to do there.
Right.
Amen.
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 God bless you, sis.
Let's do 69, actually. Heaven's Jubilee. Only believe. Courses, actually. Sorry.
Amen.
Courses.
Amen.
Amen.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing! Oh, what shouting! On change with them to be. All the living saints supply to that jubilee.
Do that. I want Dawn to come with me.
Okay.
Sing this song. It is well with my soul. If you put the words up there.
Yes.
That is my theme song. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, together we serve God. You know, together we fight Satan. You know, together we put this word number one in our lives. You know, and it's a beautiful thing. I love it. I love this woman. She has helped me in my walk. She has encouraged me. She has stood by my side. She has done so much for me. You know, it's a funny thing. She says she always wants to do better. And I look at her and say, I wish I could do as much as she does. It's a funny thing. But that's our goal. I love that, that 1% better. 1% better. Each day, do more. Give more. Serve more. But you know, you can't do anything without Him. He's the one that has to put it in you.
Yes.
I can't do anything in myself. I can have the desire, and I can make myself willing and available, but it takes Him to do it. I'm not a singer, but this song, if you ever want a song that's my theme song, this is my song, because that is what it is. Well with my soul. I don't care what my flesh does. I don't care what my spirit does. I don't care about those two things. But my soul, and I am settled on this word. I am this truth,
yes,
this
yes,
rock,
yes.
It's held me, and it will
Amen.
Hold me all the way through.
Yes.
Amen. When peace like a river attends,
what an trials should come, let this blessed assurance control.
Testimony about that rooster, because Satan was just nipping at me. All the things I've done wrong, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
I just appreciate a husband because he focuses you on what's important.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't matter in this flesh realm. We try to do, it's our desire to do the best we can, you know, but what is a Romans, which scripture? It's in my members to do good. I want to do good, but in there's not always there. And I'm just thankful for a balance. I'm thankful for a ministry that's put us right in line.
Amen.
That we have a solid word, a solid foundation. I'm thankful for a husband that can get up and just take all that.
That's right. Amen.
The only thing that's important is that soul. That soul loves the Lord. I only love the Lord. And that's what I love, is because he sees that love. He sees that love. He sees me better than I see myself.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me cut in here for a second, because, this is a beautiful place, and I never want to just sit on God. You know, something about what the sister said about that testimony, you know, we overcome by our testimony. But it wasn't until the opening of the seals where we really actually had a testimony. A testimony that was so pleasing that it will literally change our mortal bodies. And that's what we're building up to, that final testimony. And, you know, I was thinking about the ages, you know, how she said that, you know, the blood, you had to have that blood, and that blood was sprinkled for seven ages, and it covered their ignorance. But up here, there's no ignorance. Up here, it's full word. And with that full word comes a testimony that's sweet as honey. But it's going to be bitter because it's going to try you. It's going. Some days you won't feel like it. Like this morning, I didn't feel like doing anything. I got up early too, ready for church. You know, it's funny how you'll get up, but then you don't feel like you want to do anything. You don't. It's not a feel good message. It's not a feel good church. This thing's going to make you feel good when you hear that word come forth. When you hear that word come forth just right, then you say amen. You come in here and you say amen. You just agree with the word. Everything else is for the birds. When you come in here, you come in here with an open heart, with an open mind, ready to serve, ready to praise him. Because that's our only job. Our only job is to praise him for what he's already done. He's already done it. He's already counted us. He already seen us here. Every person that's under the sound of my voice has already been counted for this day. And if this was the last day, this was it. So what are you going to do on your last day? You're going to give them your best. You're going to give them that extra percent. If I got 2%, I'll give them 2%. If I'm 100 watt light bulb, I'm going to give them 100% because that's all I know how to do. And this morning, I didn't, you know, I talked to Brother Skylar. I was like, man, I really just, I should feel. But thank God it's a revelation that comes without feeling or sensation. And that can never be overemphasized. God bless you.
Oh man, Isaiah, man, you can't be doing this, man. You get me stirred up like that, man. Oh my goodness. You know what it is? It's not about feelings. You know, it's not about this. It's all about God's word, and that's so true. I mean, you know, we going through life and we're gonna go through things, but you know, God's already seen us through. Right. He's gonna get us, he's gonna provide for us. He will. We're his bride. Amen. So I mean, you know, I thank God for that. And I came up because a song been on my heart, and if we have time, I wanna know if Pastor Moore can sing I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because I'm not ashamed of this. I love this word. I mean, this word has been true to me. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not. This is 100% word. So I thank God for it, but we have time. So I want to say
amen. Yes.
You know, I'm so thankful to be here. I love this place. You know, I love this revelation. I love the peace. And you know, I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, I'm not going to testify because I testify too much. But that's just another lie from Satan. I'm just going to take it off, you know? You can never hear me testify too much. I can never thank God too much for what he's already done for me.
Amen.
And, you know, I was thinking about Sister Courtney. I love that testimony. That was beautiful. Because it's just 1%.
Yeah.
You know, I think about working out. You know, you always want to get better. Because if you get stagnant, it's not helping anything.
No.
You know, and I was thinking about correction.
Yeah.
Correction is just, you know, that coach telling you you're doing a little wrong. Fix it. Because if you're not doing it right, you're going to hurt your muscles. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yep.
You do it right, you're going to get better. You're going to get stronger, you know. I just thank God so much for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, well, come on. You come and sing first.
Go ahead, sis.
I definitely want to hear that.
Amen. While they're getting ready, I just want to come up here and say that I'm really happy to be here. You know, I get nervous coming up here, and I forgot my words for the song this morning, but I know that God's got it.
That's right.
Yeah. And I can do it. So, and I just want to say that I'm super thankful for my dad, because he makes it where we can have such peace and leadership in our house. And for those who don't know, today is his 44th birthday. So, yeah.
That's all right.
Amen.
Amen.
That we couldn't find the words, but if you want to praise God, come on and get in it. So we'll do whatever we have to do to give him the praise and the glory. This song is dear to my heart, and it's the truth for me, because I just want to be where he is. Amen. Sing, sweetheart.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from above. draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are. I'm dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always wanna be. I just wanna be. I just want to be with you. Want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
I am so thankful for this sister right here, this youngster. She got up here and sang that. She did so beautifully. I'm encouraged by you. I'm encouraged by a lot of the young that just get up here, get out of the way, and because I need to do that, you know. I need to just get out of the way because all the testimonies kind of was just rang true for me, Sister Courtney, Sister Lise, you know, with just getting out of the way because it's not always, I get on myself when I play. I get on myself a lot, but it's about what, not so much what I want, but how God wants it to be.
That's right.
I make that little mistake, he knew I was, but I, you know, hey, I did it perfect in his eyes, so that's all right. So, and on that
note,
I just, please keep me in your prayers. I went to the doctor to check for, you know, my oncologist, and he said everything is kind of the same. You know, some of my levels did go up, so I said, that's all right, God is going to heal me. I'm not going to, I don't even want this leukemia. I'm not even saying it. So I'm just believing for it and thankful. So, and luckily I don't need treatment right now. So thank the Lord for that.
You know, I was sitting there thinking about everything. you know, what's going on today and how beautiful it is. You know, that song, you know, that Donna John sang there, you know, that I recite that to the devil a lot. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
It is well.
You know, because the devil, he's in emotion.
Yeah.
God is too. But the devil really likes emotion because that's all he's got.
That's all,
that's all he's got. He's got no word. He's got no truth.
Yeah.
He's got to get you riled up in emotion some way, somehow. And, you know, when I would do good, evil is present. He's always there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, darkness is always there. I don't care if it's hiding over in the shadow or whatever. It's always there. But I'm thankful that this revelation is solid. You know, I remember when I first started looking at this, you know, I said, no, the Word says this. Yeah, but I feel that. Nope. But the Word says this. It almost feels like you're just mechanical. All you got is knowledge, you know. Of course, that's the next thing Satan brings. Right. All you got is head knowledge. Yeah. Yeah, you just been around so long, you just know it.
Right.
You know, it's not real. You know, you just repeat and repeat. You know, and but no, it's not that way. You stay with the Word.
That's right.
He rides in with the right kind of emotion. Yeah. Kind of a feeling. There's an emotion. There's a feeling with this. You know,
yes.
Brother Childers preached eat and drink. don't just eat. Wear me out with word.
Right.
There got to be some feeling there. It's got to get down under that fifth rib.
Yes.
There's a realness to it.
Yes.
But it starts when you stay with that unemotional Word of God.
That's right.
You know, that's where it begins. And whatever Satan, whatever emotion he brings, you know, I think about an argument. You know, if you can keep the arguments out of it, you can, or the emotion out of it, you can get right to the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. But as long as you got emotion, no, somebody did me wrong. You know, somebody, it's his, he started it, you know. You know, as long as you got that in there, you'll never get to the truth.
That's right.
You know, just like I said, you know, well, so-and-so said something about me, huh? Was it true? Or you just riled up on your emotion. And, but I love it the way it is.
Yeah.
I love it, the order of things, how that, you know, we hold to the Word.
That's right.
Whatever my lot.
That's right.
He's taught me to say it's well.
It's well.
I don't care what Satan brings me.
Always
I don't care what emotion is on
right.
me. I know who I am.
Amen.
Let me get a few quick announcements out of the way. Remember, we got Men's Fellowship May 4th back at the church at 10 a.m. Then we're traveling to Bluffton May 5th. So we're leaving at 9, so be here at 8:45. And then Sister Jada's graduating May 24th. And that's at 4 p.m. So 2:33, didn't I walk on the water?
Yes.
And I'll turn it over.
Amen.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look.
look behind you and see how far you've come. And then every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind and it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice, so she's feeling low. I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, child, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging seas. I spoke to the wind and it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? I hear you when you call. I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Pastor come up, sing his song, and hand it over.
You know, we go through a lot of things in life. And sometimes it seems like we're always paying, always paying, always have to give, always have to surrender something, always got to put something else down. It almost seems like everything's in the negative, but really everything's in the positive. Amen. And anything I do for the glory of God. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of what I believe. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of the way I live my life. I'm not ashamed of the word. I'm not ashamed of the prophet. I'm not ashamed of none of this. The world doesn't understand it. They don't want it. But that's okay. I'm still not ashamed of it. And I'll pay the price no matter what it is, because that's just who I am. We're an anchor for those who are homeless, a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. It costs you. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. am out standing up for my Jesus, because of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I am willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be what he wants me to be. Give up the wrong for the right, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Has held mercy for all the love that he showed all of my life. A simple thanks doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. As for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world around me. I've got my eyes on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted. I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all he wants me to be. I give up the wrong for the right, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, of the gospel, for I've got too much behind me to let this world blind me. To some he's just a name, but to me he's my everything. I am not ashamed of this gospel. No, I am not of the gospel, for I've got too much behind me to let this world blind me. To some he's just a name, but to me he's everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of this gospel. No. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
While everybody's coming, I just wanted to testify. I'm sorry, Dad. I just want to get my time in. I really thank God for this place, you know. Yeah. It's just,
amen,
it keeps you in the right order, and I won't do it out there, you know. Once you see it, you see it, and I just thank God I'm part of this group, and because I love you guys. I love this work. Amen.
All right.
I let him sneak through because he's my son. If you're wondering, there's a benefit, you know. Amen. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning so grateful for this gospel that we have before us. Lord, I look at the scripture, and you don't know where to begin. But then once you get started, you don't know where to end because it's eternal. We just jump on and have to step back into time. But Lord, for this little bit of moment here today, let us just move everything aside. Let us let the gospel speak to our hearts, knowing that you know what we need today. Each one that's sitting here this morning has a specific thing that you're going to speak to their heart and that they'll take home with them. And they'll meditate on those things and they'll be stronger for it. Father, we ask you to just do that for us this morning. We're not worthy in ourselves, but Lord, your word has made us worthy. Your grace has made us worthy. So Lord, we accept what you've given for us. And we turn around and receive what you're giving to us this morning. Father, those that are sick, maybe not even here today, but are sick, some physically, some spiritually, Lord, we ask you to move on their behalf. Work out the details, Lord. You're the God of the details. And Father, we ask you to move around this world, knowing that the bride has made herself ready. We're the final voice, and we're speaking this morning. Knowing that outside of hearing from your bride, they can't even hear from God. And to be so sure of that, Lord, that only is done by revelation. And God, we ask you to come by here today. Yes. Speak to our hearts. Let us use this gospel to grow. Let us just manifest your word so that the world can see us and glorify you. Lord, I've opened the books. Open our hearts and help us to just let you in. Move everything aside, the world, the love of the world, and the things of the world. Let's just move it all aside. That, Father, you can have a few minutes to talk to us this morning. We're so thankful for your presence. So thankful for your being here. And ask you, Lord, to just move on behalf of the people today. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bible before we sit down. To Isaiah chapter 12. I want to read that chapter this morning to get started. You never know how to start, but then you don't know how far to go or what to say, but it's good to be here. Isaiah chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 1. And in the day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wert angry with me. Thou anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore will I joy. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in the day, and that day, shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings amongst the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we read chapter 12 here. And we ask you to just come amongst us and let us know what it is that you want us to pull out of the reading and use it for their glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Like the title, the message this morning, The Joy of My Salvation. And I wanted to start here in Isaiah, because I think sometimes we have it mixed up. And we look at serving God as a chore or some sacrifice that I have to make on behalf of God, something that I have to give up, something that I have to do. And we spend more time talking about the thou shalt nots of the Bible than the thou shalt. Do you know there's more thou shalt? Good to see you, Brother Tommy. I asked about you the other day. Good to have you home. Amen. I just asked about him the other day. But sometimes it almost seems like, from an outward appearance looking at Christianity, you'd almost want to look at going to church and serving God as a chore, something that's hard, something that you have to do. We have to do this to go to heaven. That's what we feel. You got to do these things, and we make it such a burden. And you walk around depressed and down and out because you have to do this thing. Because if I don't do this thing, I can't go to heaven. That's the way denominations look at it. I was looking at something the other day, and a man asked a guy, if your dad was in hell, would you want to get him out? And he said, no, because he did bad. He sinned. He did. So we have a tendency to look at things in the negative. Serving God in the negative. Sisters say, oh, I have to wear dresses. Brother says, I got to straighten up. I got to do this. I got. And we're always looking at the negative side of salvation, and if there is one. I mean, I don't even know if there really is one. Because all the things that God does for us is good. But we take this load on ourselves. And we almost, and Brother Branham talked about the boy, little boy who was at the parade. And a mule come down the street in the parade, and the boy looked at the mule and he said, look, Daddy, here goes one of those Christians. Because they walk around, they're all dried up. They have no hope. They have no purpose in life. They don't even know why they're here. But it ain't that way. At least it shouldn't be, not to us. I mean, I just read to you in Isaiah here, you know, God is good to us. He's merciful to us. He's gracious to us. When we can't do it right, he does it right for us. What we can't do, he does. What I can't reach, what goal I can't reach, he helps me to get there. So it's not a sad thing. The Christian should be the happiest person on the face of the earth. Because they have hope. You know, the Bible says if in this life only we had hope, we would be men most miserable. It would be an awful thing to be here if I didn't have hope. But to know that there's some God that's standing in the gap for me. to know that he holds up the pieces that I can't hold up. Amen. I mean, my goodness, he built a bride body for 2,000 years and stood in the gap the whole time, knowing that she couldn't do it, knowing that she didn't have it right, knowing that she couldn't make it on her own. And that includes you, you know. You almost act like you're not in there. You're in there too. The blood was applied for you too. Do you realize you can't make it without the blood? The blood was only sprinkled 7 times, so you got to be up here somewhere. So God stood in the gap for you when you couldn't stand in the gap for yourself. When you didn't even know what truth was, God had to bring it to you. He had to bring you a preacher. He had to bring you the word. And not only did he have to bring it to you, he had to preach it to you. And after he preached it to you, he had to come and reveal it to you. You didn't do nothing. God's done it all. So if he's done all this for you, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? In that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Yes. It should be easy to praise God when you know what he's done for you, as long as you know. If you don't know, yeah, you'll come to church, maybe. Yeah, you'll sit on the bench, but you ain't going to give back. You ain't going to praise him. He wants your praise. He dwells in his praises. Of his people. Amen. He wants you to praise him. You say, well, it's not my nature. Do you? Let me tell you about your nature. Let me tell you about your nature. Your nature was born in sin. Your nature was shaped in iniquity. Your nature come here speaking lies. Your nature was hell bound. Your nature couldn't get it. Your nature couldn't be saved. You're a sinner by nature. So it doesn't have nothing to do with God. Because the first thing God does is get rid of your nature. And he gives you his nature. So when he gives you his nature, then all those excuses should go out the window. And if it is your nature, you need to be born again. Because once you're born again, you'll do things that you don't think you should do. You'll stand up and preach or pray or sing or testify when your nature in your old house wouldn't have done it. I will praise him. I'm going to do it. You say, well, what would the neighbor think? I don't care what the neighbor like. Like Courtney said, it's about me. It's about me. It's about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to praise him. I don't know about you, but I'm going to praise him. He's the joy of my salvation. He's the one that gave me the hope to live, the reason to live. He's the one that gave me direction. He's the one that, why wouldn't I praise the Lord? He is worthy of all the praises that you can give and then some. When he left the throne in heaven and had come down to earth, all the hallelujahs, all the praises, all the celebrations should have moved from the throne and moved into your throne. He was angry with us under that old nature. But he's turned away from that anger. And now he comforts me. Psalms 23, I was thinking about that this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. What have you done? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. He leadeth me. This ain't my walk. This is his walk. This ain't my life. This is his life. He's moved into this tabernacle, moved behind your veil, and now God is walking around in your house. Amen. It's not you anymore. Amen. So what are you trying to protect? What are you trying to hold on to? What are you trying to... No, you can't get too busy for God. You can't have too much to do for God. I remember Brother Childers, man, had many houses. He built over 100. Well over 100. Had a car lot. Had lots of cars. Lots of... Had all this stuff. You know where he was every Sunday and Wednesday? Right there. There was nobody in his church any busier than him. And I thought to myself, if this man could make it, it all depends on where your joy comes from. If you love the world and the things of the world, then that's where you're going to be. You do what you love. You do what you love. I don't care what you say. I had people tell me, well, I'm going to come and visit you. And you know what? They don't. You know why they don't? It's not in their heart to do it. If you really want to do it, my brother told me that one time. He was in California, living back in California at the time. And he told me, I told him, Kofi, I'm going to come out and see you sometime. And I'd give him excuses then, and I'd get excuses. And that's what he told me. He said, you know what? You're going to do exactly what you want to do. What could I say? I was like, you know, you're right. And it's the same way with us. We do exactly what we want to do. And if you're not doing what you want to do, then you need to change what you're doing. Because you're being a hypocrite to yourself. If you don't love God, don't serve Him. If you don't want to come to church, don't. If you don't want to partake in the Word of God and the body of Jesus Christ, then don't. He said, you're an awful preacher. You're supposed to be trying to get us to Christ, not running from Christ. I'm trying to get you to do what's in your heart. Because you're going to do it anyway. You'll have to do it. And the reason people have to do it is because they don't really want to do it. You know, when I went to work, I enjoyed doing my work. So that was the incentive for me to come back the next day. I didn't come to work, clock in on time, and go sit at my desk and say, well, I really don't feel like I'm going to do anything, so I'm just going to hang around till lunchtime and then after lunch and getting paid. You may as well stay home. Because if it's not in your heart, see, I love when I work, I love to work. I do. I don't like everything I have to do. But in general, I love to work. I love doing things. I love creating things. I enjoy my life. Amen. And you should enjoy your life. Amen. If you don't enjoy your life, get a new life. Amen. So you know you're only going through here once. Amen. You know yesterday's already gone. If you didn't enjoy yesterday, too late today. That's like life. Right. If you don't enjoy this life, and you say, well, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. Sister Spears would always say, I don't know why y'all are talking about when we all get to heaven. I'm rejoicing now. Amen. We can serve God now. We can enjoy life now. You don't have to wait to get there to enjoy life. You should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Amen. And if you're not happy, then change what you're doing. You should get joy out of something. You should. Some people get joy out of working on cars. Some people get joy out of painting. Some people get joy out of hunting and fishing. Some people get joy out of sitting and doing nothing on the front porch. As Brother Childers said, sit on the front porch and count cars. Get joy out of your life. Don't just come through this world and next thing you know, turn around a couple of times and you're old and broke down. That's why I always tell people, they say, well, when I retire, I say, retire nothing. You better do it now. The Bible tells you to serve the Lord in your youth. Don't wait till you're my age. And that ain't old, just so you know. Start younger. I'm just saying, start younger. Don't wait till you get my age and decide I'm going to serve God. You could have given God so much more time if you start in your youth. And matter of fact, start in your youth because you're healthy, strong, And those are the ones that God really wants to use the most. I enjoyed our sister singing this morning. Do it while you're young. You got to overcome yourself. You got to overcome your brothers and sisters because they know you. They know you. And you got to stand up there and look at them. And then you know what you did last week. See, we all go through that. And you got to overcome all of that to be able to give back. So it ain't just getting up and grabbing. A lot of people think you just get up and grab a mic. No, that ain't it. You got to overcome yourself to do that. If you just get up and grab a mic, all you do is boring us. But if you get up there and overcome, and you overcome yourself, then God can use you, and the body gets edified. And that's what this is all about, edifying in the body. That's what Ephesians is talking about, fivefold ministry, work of the ministry, till we all come for edifying of the body, till we all come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're here for. So if you don't get anything out of life, if your life is just full of questions instead of answers, then you need to get saved. Honestly, I was trying to put it nicely, but the bottom line is, Brother Locke says you must be born again. You need the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is going to give you joy. It's going to give you peace. It's going to give you answers to every question you have. It's your salvation. It's everything. I will praise thee. Behold, God is my salvation. There is none other. You say, well, I'm going to get to heaven on my own. You won't get there at all. You can't even go to heaven outside of Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't go, no man can come unto the Father but by me. So you can't get there no other way. There's not two or three ways to be saved. There's not two or three ways to get to heaven. There's not two or three ways to live for Christ. There's only one way, dying to yourself and letting him have your life. That's the way it works. It's my salvation. I will trust. I'll trust in the Lord. That song says, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. You say, well, I don't know if he's real. You better find out. I don't know if this is for me. That's what I hear people. I don't know if this is for me. Well, if you don't know it's for you, then it's not for you. When I heard this word, I knew right away it was for me. All I heard was the word coming out of the preacher's mouth, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. I never heard this in my life. This is exactly what I need. You know what? The word that came forth from here fed my soul. Nothing else did. Nothing stirred me. Nothing quickened me. Nothing moved me until I heard this word coming from this place. You say, do I have to come here? You do. Everybody don't, but you do. You say, well, what makes you think I do? Because you're here. And this is where the word is coming forth. What I'm speaking to you is the word of God. And you know what? With a person that's got a seed in them, they had thought and wondered all their life about what I'm talking about this morning. And it never was ever satisfied by the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics. Never satisfied by staying at home and reading the Bible yourself. Couldn't get answers to nothing. But then you come to the house of God, and the man of God gets up, and he just starts answering every question you have. And that seed of God, there's something on the inside, it's called God. That seed of God that's inside of that person, that's a predestinated, foreordained seed of God. When they hear the word of God, it's exactly to their taste. It answers every question. It solves all their problems. It moves every hindrance out of the way. It makes night daylight. It turns all the things around. And next thing you know, there's a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of God that can't be satisfied anywhere else. Tommy, you can't get this at home. You can't get this out in the street. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm going to figure out if God's real or not. You know what? You'll never figure out God's real until you get to the house of God. Amen. Because you won't figure it out. It takes a revelation to know if God's real. And it takes a preacher to get that revelation. Because how can you hear except to be preached? And how can he preach except to be sent? You won't get this sitting on your couch. You got to do like the rest of us. Get to the house. That's why my prescription for any problem you have is get to the house. Don't you think that's weird? You come to my doctor's office and I write you a prescription and you got back trouble. And I give you a prescription. Somebody said, well, I'm going in because I've just got an allergy. I gotta go get my prescription. And they go in and get, and you compare notes when you get out in the lobby. So what did the doctor tell you? Get to the house. What did he tell you? Get to the house. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care you got lust problem, smoking problem, drinking problem, women problem, men problem, personal problem. I don't care what it is. Drag it in the house of God. Drag it in here. I guarantee you got to start whipping on that thing and start working on that thing. And next you know what? You may not ever even get rid of it. But you know what? You'll be in the house of God, and every time you get hit, smacked by God, you know what you're going to say? Amen, that's the truth. Amen, that's the truth. Because Paul had a problem. And so, Lord, take this thing from me. He asked you three times. God said, no, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. Don't worry about that. You get to the house, and God will take care of your problem. He said, but I'm having trouble at home. Get to the house. I'm having trouble with my family. Get to the house. I'm having trouble with my boss. Get to the house. He said, I can't bring my boss to work. I ain't trying to straighten your boss out. I'm trying to straighten you out because it's how you respond to your boss that makes all the difference. I'll trust you, Lord. What are you trusting in? You're trusting in the word of God. When God says it, I believe it. When God says it, I trust him. When he said he's going to do it, I trust and believe he's going to do it. If he says it, he will do it. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I ain't going to do it, I would have told you. Because I ain't a liar. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And you say, well, how do I know I can trust him? It's called faith. You got to have faith to trust God. Well, I don't have faith. You know why you don't have faith? Because you're not in the house of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot get faith in a dictionary. Can't get it in a study book. Can't get it in a library. You can't get it out of your smartness. You got to come to the house of God to get faith. No other way to get it. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and the preacher's got to preach it in order for you to hear it. And once you hear it, God quickens it to you. I don't even quicken it. I'm not responsible for you. I am not. I'm not responsible for you getting a quickened word of God. That's between you and God. All I do is tell you what the Bible says. I tie the scriptures God showed me. I tell you of my revelation. And what happens is God walks these aisles. He'll come and whisper it in your ear and reveal it to you personally. This is not a group revelation. It's not a church revelation. It's not 1744 Superior Avenue. It's your own personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I've never gotten away from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They get in a message, they get so smart, they get a prophet, they get all the quote books, they get all these good living, they get all this other stuff, but they never get a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't get that, you don't have nothing. I don't care if you got all 1,000 books. But you got to hear it to be able to trust it. Therefore, with joy will I draw out of the well of salvation. I come here gladly. I come here to pull from that well every service. Every service. Every service. Remember the little woman at the well? Jesus walked up there and she was trying to get a little water. Jesus looked at her and said, hey, you ask me, I'll give you something to drink. You'll never thirst again. That's the kind of water we come for. We come for, and we don't come here because we're starved. We come here because we delight. We want to. We're not made to come here. We're not forced to come here. I want to come here. And if you don't want to come here, you need to check your desire. Because I want to come here and pull from that well of salvation every service. I want to hear from God every service. I want him to speak to me. I want him to renew my joy. I want him to give me more hope. I want him to renew my direction and make sure I'm on the straight and narrow. Make sure I'm on the path of righteousness. Make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Because when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, the very place that pats you on the back is the same place that corrects you.
Amen.
Same one. It's like a parent. Parent will hug you, but if you do wrong, they'll spank you. When you come into the house of God, it isn't always honey and sweets. God calls to you. He tells you where you're short. He tells you where to step it up. But you know the thing about the bride of Jesus Christ? She wants that. You can't preach it hard enough for us. You can't tell me I need to straighten my life up enough. I know I need to straighten it up. And when I hear you say straighten it up, I say, amen. See, it's hard for the devil to put condemnation on me because I don't have no condemnation. Everything that God says is right. Everything about me is wrong. And when God says stop, I stop. When God says no, go, I go. And if he says I need to do something, I say, amen, Lord. And any problem I have, I would be the first one in line to get rid of it. So it's hard for the devil to stick to me. It's hard for the devil to get me down and out because all I got to do is remember what God's done for me.
Right.
Think about what he's done for me. And in that day, you shall praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings amongst the people. Don't be ashamed of this. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, when you're smiling, because you should smile. When you're smiling out there in the world and bombs are dropping, people are shooting, dope crazy, everything's out of control. And in the middle of all of that, you're smiling. You know what that's going to do? That's going to make people wonder what's up with you. In the middle of hell,
amen,
you can rejoice. You know, it didn't even stop Lazarus. When he went to hell, it didn't make his day bad. He looked over there and saw Abraham. So, hey, Abraham, let me just lay on you a little while. In the middle of hell, you can enjoy yourself. I don't care what kind of problem you have. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your family's going through. You need to, the best thing you can do to your family is get them in the house. Because your kids need it. Your wife need it. The husband need it. Everybody needs it. Because you say, well, I'm only going to just do one part. Well, you can't do that. I mean, if Clarice looks at me cross-eyed and say, I ain't going to church today. I say, okay, then don't. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come. But my job as a husband is to encourage my wife when I see her down. Oh, Melanie talked about me last week. And I ain't going to sit with her at church no more. I ain't even going to go. Is Melanie coming today? Yeah, I ain't going to church. That's my job as a husband to say, Clarice, that's a spirit. Clarice, Satan is trying to get you out of the house. He doesn't want you in church because that's where you get your strength. And you don't come to church, you won't get stronger. You'll get weaker. Matter of fact, the more services you miss, the weaker you get. And the stronger the devil gets. That's the way it works. You feed the white dog, he's going to be stronger. You feed, you know what? You don't have to feed the black dog. You know that Indian, he said, whichever one you feed, to not feed the white dog is automatically feeding the black dog. That's the way it works. To not submit yourself to God, you say, well, it doesn't hurt me to listen to worldly music. No, it doesn't hurt you. But what are you pumping into yourself? What are you putting in this tabernacle? What are you putting in the holies of holies? What are you bringing in? You say, well, I can't stand Christian music. I can't either, but I'll find something. I'll find something. They drive me crazy sometimes. I change channels, have to do this, have to do that, have to put on my own music, have to hum to myself, do something. But see, you're feeding on whatever it is that you're dealing with. Amen. And if you don't create that atmosphere around you, If I come to your house and all I'm hearing is my daddy called it boompity-boomp. If all I'm hearing is boompity-boomp, and that's all that's in your house all day long, that's your atmosphere. That's what you surround yourself with. You know what's going to be going, what you're feeding on? Boompity-boomp. And you know what? You're not going to even be thinking about God. You won't. Because you're not feeding the white dog.
Amen.
Read a scripture in the morning or something. Start your day out right. And don't have to read the whole Bible. You know, we go to ditches on both sides. I got to spend 4 hours reading the Bible every day to make sure I'm good. No. Do like Christy did. Just put one on a refrigerator. Just one little scripture, one little verse. And you walk past it, and what it does, it feeds that white dog and gets your mind moving in the right direction. You say, oh, well, you're just trying to make us a bunch of... No, I'm not. I'm trying to teach you how to feed the white dog. Because sometimes I get grieved. I don't say it a lot of times, but I'll go sometime around some of our brothers or sisters or whatever, and the atmosphere they're creating, I'm just like, And I won't stay long because I don't want it. And I remember Brother Childers. He'd go out on his bobcat, whistle all day long. Just get your atmosphere. I don't care if you're digging ditches. I don't care if you're putting widgets together. I don't care if you're serving food. I don't care if you're nursing. I don't care if you're whatever you're doing. Just get your mind on him and feed that white dog. It'll make your day better. When they all upset at work over something, and you're the only one still smiling, because you got internal joy. You don't have to have somebody else pump you up. You got joy. You got the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're living by Christ and you're moving by him, and you're doing this because you want to do this. You're not being made to do this. I looked up the word joy. It's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That's all it is. And the thing about joy is you can have it. It's yours to have. God has done all the work, and you can smile. You don't have to walk around here all bogged down trying to figure out all these answers to questions that never have an answer. Which is stronger, God or is there a rock that God can't lift? Stupid. Why are you wasting your time on that? What kind of food are we going to eat at the marriage supper? Who cares? Get there first. You may not even be at the marriage. That's like if I'm having a wedding and I don't invite you. Don't be worried about what I'm having at my reception. If you're not invited to the wedding, you ain't going to the reception. So it ain't for you. But we spend so much time on these questions sometimes. And it's like Brother Ben said Wednesday night. You know, here they had the prophet of the hour. Prophet of the hour. The only time that they had a major prophet right in front of them. They could ask him anything. And they wanted to find out whether it was proper for sisters to wear hose or not. Where they can wear a necklace, or where they can do. And it's like, are you serious? You got a major prophet on your hand. And it's the same with us. Y'all think y'all less. You got God in your house. You wives, ask your husband at home. Why? God's there. You husbands, if you don't have an answer, you got a pastor. And we spend time on stupid stuff that doesn't even matter or won't even last. And we're trying to figure this stuff out ourselves and losing the joy. We could have so much joy. We should be the happy. We should come and rock this place. We really should. Come in here. Everybody's joyous. Everybody's on fire. You ain't warming somebody up. Trying to, you know, get you pumped up. Get ready for the preacher, so you got to pump it up. No, we don't do that around here. Mm-mm. If you're cold, you're just cold. And everybody around you know it. Because they're going to be hopping and doing and enjoying themselves and hooping and hollering and shouting and having a good time. And you're going to be sitting there, well, I'm in church. I ain't really happy about it, but I'm here. I don't know. They say, I hear y'all say it sometime. Oh, I want to sleep in this morning. Not me. Sunday morning? I don't even set an alarm. I don't have to set an alarm clock. I lay there and look at the clock. What time is it? What time is it? I don't, it's like, is it? It's like, it's. Whoa. You don't sleep in on your wedding day. You don't sleep in when you're getting ready to go on a trip. You say, oh man, I was supposed to take that flight. I overslept. Overslept. You're excited about going, right? Yeah. You're lucky if you slept all night. Thing is, whatever you love, you're going to do. Whatever you love, you're going to give to. Whatever you love, you're going to have joy about it. And nobody, I've never seen anybody upset about somebody giving them $1,000. Hard to frown when you're holding that $1,000. You get joy in serving God. Because what brings your joy on is that He paid it all. He's made a way. You don't have to worry about nothing. All you got to do, when Clarice, she gets up in the morning, she does whatever she wants. I don't have no strings on her. There's only a few things I ask her to do. Most of the time, she gets up, has her own agenda. She don't have to worry about, oh, I got to go find some money to pay the light bill because the light's going to, I need to go find some money. No. She when she needs money, she is not even bashful. I can show you a text right now. She'll just text. She just texts and look for it. Amen. And don't worry. And am I sure you're gonna do this? Am I? No. It's expected. And here we are. We expect God to take care of us. We expect God to supply all our needs. We expect His grace. We expect that His love and mercy has covered us, that blood has covered us. We expect us. And so, what are you worrying about? What are you down and out about? Anybody, like I said, if anybody should be a joyous person, it should be us. Because He's taking care of it all. Brother Brown said in the token, he said, God is your joy. God is your strength. Knowing the message, knowing the truth, that's our sufficiency now. He is my all sufficiency. In Him, all things I have need of is in Him. That's our strength. My help coming from the Lord. You Christians, look to Him for joy. Look to Him for strength. Look to Him for happiness. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my love. He's my life. That's a covenant, the token upon the door. He's given all of this to us. He's given us everything. He didn't leave anything for us to worry about. You say, I'm worried about who's going to be in the White House in November. It doesn't matter who's going to be in the White House in November. The one that's got you is the one that's going to take care of you no matter who's in the White House, if there is a White House. You might be worried about November. We might be raptured in June. You're worried about things that don't even need to be worried about. Amen. You just enjoy life. Amen. Enjoy being who you are. Amen. Enjoy having the love of God in your life and answers to everything. We don't have to worry about nothing. Right. How many of you came in here concerned about whether the lights are going to come on this morning? Thank you, Jesus. You come in expecting. Matter of fact, you'd have thought something was wrong if they weren't. Right. See, we look at this thing wrong. We're looking at, oh, well, I got to serve God. No, it's a privilege to serve God. Privilege. The ones who should be upset are the ones who are not serving God. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. See, we don't get it and lose it. Remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's why we're not up and down. When your cup is full, there's no room for nothing else. I have no room for doubt. I have no room for unbelief. I have no room for sickness. I have no room for troubles. I have no room for people falling off. I don't have any room for that. The joy of the Lord's got me full. And I don't come in here one day up and one day down. One day up, one day down. You don't see him coming. You don't see me here coming in here one day. Oh, what's wrong with the pastor today? Look at him and Clarice must be fighting. Y'all don't see that out of me.
No.
But I see that out of y'all. Sometimes you come in here and you sit like this. Do you know your body language says everything? That means I'm taking care of this little piece right here and nobody can get in and I ain't letting nothing out. I ain't singing. I ain't testifying. I ain't doing a thing. You're lucky that I even came to church today, and I wouldn't have come today, but y'all would have expected that I was backslid. So I had to come. I'm doing more than just sitting on the organ. I'm watching everybody that comes in the door. So the deacons, when they meet you at the back door, you might have an attitude in the car, but you better drop it before you get to that front door, because they're scanning everybody. They're checking to see how you are today. Is God still God? Is he still good? You still have the Holy Ghost? Yeah, shake my hand.
Amen.
Smile a little bit. Amen. You can't sing if you don't smile.
Amen.
You can't do it. The songs just have words that make your child size of your lips go up. So that's why you sit there like this. And let the song leader do it. And he's here trying to get the smile on your face, so he's pumping up. Let's sing this song. Let's sing that. Maybe I'll sing a fast song. That'll get them up on their feet. But that ain't his job. He's here to lead the worship. This is a worship service. We're here to thank him for his love. Thank him for his joy. Thank him for what he's done for us. Look where he's brought me from. Look what he's given us. He's given us the greatest message there is. So I'm full of joy. Did I tell y'all what joy meant? Okay, I thought I did. So if you're full of joy, the devil don't have no room to put nothing else in there. He said, well, you did this. Huh. Nowhere for it. Sorry. Well, you're not good. You're this. You're not. This person doesn't like you. That person doesn't like you. This person. Do y'all realize my heart gets tore out every time somebody leaves the church? Ripped. But I can't come in here the next day. No. I got too much to do. I got too much behind me to let this world bind me. To some might he just be a name, but to me, he is everything. So you don't see me hitting these, oh no. It just makes me have to, I look and I say, okay, there's only three wheels, then I just have to pick up a little. Oh, we're going. Oh yeah, it's gonna be done. If I have to do it myself.
Right.
I got too much joy to let this world get me down. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you'll be full of joy. Listen to Psalms 144. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. You should be happy. We don't come here in a funeral. Sing a bunch of all slow songs. I love slow songs because I think slow songs are good for worship. But slow songs can also create the atmosphere of a funeral. So when you're coming in here, we're coming into a house of worship. But we should be happy about it. I am happy to come to the house of God. I am happy to serve God. I'm happy to be here. I have joy. I have joy. When people look at me, they should see joy. Sister Spears, when she saw me after I come to the message, saw me down at Brother Dewberry's church, and she looked at me and said, "What you been eating? Why?" I'm walking around like this. She's like, "Where you been? What you been eating?" I said, "Why are you talking about, Sister Spears? You been somewhere." She knew. And I didn't even say nothing to her. She was just walking by. I just had the joy of the Lord. I was happy because I had the word of the Lord in here. And when God's in there, it should bring joy to you. It should show outside. Amen. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And he is the Lord. So you should be happy. You should have joy about you. You should be running. You know, I'm liking what I'm seeing out of y'all. Y'all are coming to church earlier. I'm gonna tell this on myself. Shush, Mel. I was coming down the road today, and I was like, man, there's two cars just turning a lot. I'm not gonna get one of those front parking spots. I said, that green car, Jeremiah. I said, I bet you they take the last one. And Melly's like, what are you talking about? I said, they're pulling in the parking lot. And I'm two hills back. I'm two hills back. And I'm like, they're pulling in a lot. So I got down here, and here comes Jeremiah. Just slide on through. And I'm like, that's sorry, dog. Y'all getting here earlier and earlier and earlier. But that's all right. That means somebody's enthused about it. That means somebody knows what they're getting. That means somebody don't want to miss a testimony. Don't miss a song. Don't come to church late because you'll miss God. So I had a private war with Jeremiah this morning. He didn't even know it. I'm sure you do. We're sort of the same mind. Jeremiah thinks the same way. So that's what Melody didn't know I was talking about. I was two hills back. I could see the church driveway. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, I can see them pulling in. But we want to be here. It's a good place to be. I don't want to be late. I don't want to be slowful. I don't even want to be slowful about serving God. He's worthy of it. Of anything I can give him. Amen. He is my salvation. Yes. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Psalms 28:7. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is my strength. And he is the saving strength of his anointed. How can you be sad? I have not seen one scripture in that Bible that tells me to be anything but strong, courageous, and have happiness and joy. That should be us. He's given us all. You know what? A person who had somebody give them everything in their life and they can complain about something. Something wrong with them. A rich kid who's had everything given to him and he's not happy? I mean, my goodness, how can he not be happy? You know why he's not happy? Because he doesn't appreciate what has been done for him. When you are unhappy in this house, it's because you're not appreciating what's been done for you. You don't realize Jesus died for your sin. Amen. Seven messengers came and they did what they did down through the ages. God sent a major prophet at the end time. God showed Brother Childers what this was. God showed me what it is. And you're still unhappy? What more could he do? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. See, people think I'm having trouble. So, it should be a joyous thing. Thank God. Look at Job. Job was chosen by God. Matter of fact, devil was going through heaven and God tripped him. Ooh. Hey, got something for you. Have you considered my servant? The devil didn't come and say, hey, I need to get Job. No, God said, boop, hey. Have you considered my servant Job? It wasn't the devil's doing. It's God did that. Yeah, God said, he's my guy. He loves me. And ain't nothing, I bet you, there's nothing you could do to make him turn away from me. Devil got off the floor and said, really? All right. I'm going to go down there. And I'm going to make him curse you. He said, go ahead. Take your best shot. And the devil started walking away and said, oh, but one thing. Don't touch his soul. Don't touch his life. That's me. Devil went down there and took his kids, took his cattle, did everything he could think of. And he said, man, Job's still not doing nothing. He had boils, put boils, made him sick, gave him boils. He said, okay, I got one more last shot. He climbed into Job's wife. He said, hey, you need to, your God that done all this, that you say you so love, that gave you boils and took our kids and did all this stuff to you, you say you love him, you need to curse God and just die. Job said, ooh. Now Job didn't say you're right. Job didn't just he looked at her and said, you talk like a foolish woman. You're talking crazy, woman. The God to give me all this, you want me to curse him? You're a foolish woman. But what Job did discover in the midst of that trial was that he truly loved God. You know when you really know you love God is when you're going through your trials. When you got every element against you and everybody's against you and people talking about you and nobody's liking you and everybody's leaving you and you're sitting there and you have to ask yourself, is it me? Do I really love God? And what it does to a believer, it makes them say, you know what? I do love him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to serve him every day of my life. Brother Branham said, if God were to send me to hell, I'll still serve him every day of my life. That's how much he loved God. That's how much we love God. If God would send us to hell, I'd still serve him. I don't serve him because I'm afraid of hell. I serve him because I love him. People don't get that. They made it a work. They made it, oh, we got to go to church. Oh, we got to serve God. Oh, we got to understand all this stuff. Oh, we got to do all this. You don't have to do nothing. You just have to love him for what he's done for you. You have to love him for who he is. Just believe him. Take him at his word, and he will take care of the details. So when you're tempted, you should count it as joy. First thing we do is, why me? Why? I've served God and I got this sickness. I've served God and this happened to me. I've served God and I got to do surgery. I served God. I got to do. That ain't the reason you're serving God. You're serving God because you love him. You're not serving God because he's keeping everything from you. We go through problems just like everybody else. We have sickness like everybody else. We have family problems like everybody else. We go through divorces like everybody else. But the thing we have that they don't have is we have a love for God. And when they get down and out, they lose hope and throw it all away. When I get down and out, I look for my Redeemer because I know I look up for my redemption draweth nigh. I know he's coming. I know he's going to save me. I know he's going to bring me out of this hole. after expressing ourselves the way we have, and I believe that happiness goes with Christians, Brother Branham said. I've never been sad that I was a Christian. I'm always happy I'm a Christian. Joy bells has rang in my heart now for some 35 years since Jesus Christ came into my heart. I've never been able to express it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've been doing this thing a long time, Don. And I've never had a day that I've been sorry or sad about serving God. Oh, I've had my wants. I've had my ups and downs in my own personal life and problems. But I've never been sad about serving God. I've never wanted to ever give back that Holy Ghost that He gave me. I never wanted to give back that eternal life that He gave me. I never want to give Him back any revelation that He's ever given me. Because it's one with me. It is myself. And I and my Father are one. I'm not sorry to be a Christian. I'm not sad to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. Christian is Christ-like. Christ-like is word-like. I want to be the living Word of God in the hour that we're living in. That's who I am. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. You might look at me and say, you can do better. Yes, I can. But what if I don't? Is that going to take my salvation away from me? I still love Him. See, we go through trials, we go through problems, we go through situations, but through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. I'm not dependent on me anyway. Now, won't read it, but Don and I was talking about this the other day. James chapter 1, 12 through 15. We're not tempted by God. So when you're going through your trials, don't whine about it saying, oh, God's doing this to me. God ain't doing this to you. Oh, Satan's got me in a hole. Satan can't do anything that you don't allow. Do you realize that? He said, well, He put sickness on me. Brother Brown said He put cast it on and we cast it off. So sickness don't even stop us. And the only time we fall into trouble with the devil is when we do it by our own lust. Only way. And it's not even a surprise. You volunteer. I volunteer. I decide I'm going to dance with the devil. I decide that. He has no, he's not sneaking up on us. During the ages, he snuck up on them. And he did things and they didn't know it, but not in this hour. Not in the hour we're living in. Devil is so openly, I see him when he comes. And I have to choose to dance with him. Am I the only one? Like, y'all acting like, y'all might as well admit it. Y'all don't do nothing that y'all, the devil don't sneak nothing on you. You wake up like, oh, what the devil make me do? Devil didn't make you do nothing. If you want to look like the world and dress like the world and act like the world, that ain't the devil. That's your choice. That's you doing that. If you want to listen to worldly music, I ain't saying don't. I'm saying that's your choice. That's your atmosphere. That's what you choose to do. I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to now. Because I'm like, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Everybody gets tried. Everybody gets tried. But if you overcome, you receive a crown of life. You know, you feel good when you, a Christian, a believer. Let me just talk about them for a minute. A believer feels good when they do the right thing. You know, you overcome and you do the right thing. You had this thing set out in front of you, and you're like, man, I really want to do that. And then you say, but no, that's not good. That's the wrong thing. And you walk away from it, you actually feel good. That's the real you. You overcome. That's you overcoming you. Because it's your lust that's pulling you there. It's not the devil's lust. That's you. Let no man say, verse 13, that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Not the devil's lust. Your lust. You say, well, hallelujah, I'm born again. I don't have lust. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That's all we got. Lust of the flesh, Don said, lust of the eye, and pride of life. That's all that man has. And the devil cannot make you do anything, but you do things. I do things when I'm drawn away by what I want. See, everybody, when they think, when they hear the word lust, first thing they think is sex and a bad thing. No, 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 no. No, lust could be a candy bar. It could be anything. It could be a car. Brother Lockett, it could be a car. Or wait a second, where's Kevin at? Kevin? It could be a car. It could be shoes, Melanie. Everybody's like, ah! That's enough. I'm just giving y'all examples. It could be a nice yard. Amen. Oh, sorry, John. I wasn't even thinking. It could be, Don said stop. But those are just examples. It could be anything. You could lust your fellow student's pencil on their desk. So, boy, that's a nice pencil. I like purple. I mean, it could be anything. So don't just think lust is bad and nasty. Lust is what you want. Something that you want over top of what God wants. And when Satan makes that available, because that's all he can do, he can't even create. He can only make available something, and then you take over. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now listen how it ends up. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. It depends on what you do with that lust. If you steal that pencil off of that student's desk, and then that's sin. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, when it is finished, bring forth death. There's no good into it. It's all it's going to produce. Anytime we go after our own lust, all it is just dead works and no good to it. When we go after what God wants us to do, that's eternal. That's eternal. When we give to God, that's eternal. You don't lose that. He'll actually reward you for that. So don't say that you're being tempted by the devil. Don't say the devil's got you down and you can't be happy because of this. You can be happy in the midst of it all. In the trial. Count it all joy. I got to hear. Count it all joy. You're blessed to be chosen by God. Listen to what Brother Branham said. Just one little short little line here. I thought I actually cut this out of some other stuff. I just wanted this one line out of the unveiling of God. It said, if the Satan tries to tempt you that you're not looking at the right thing, pointing to the Word like Jesus did. So if he tempts you, you're not looking at the right thing. Because the moment you think about the Word and put the Word back on it, the temptation goes away. If I want to be tempted, I don't think about the Bible. I guess I shouldn't be honest. I shouldn't be honest. But that's it. If I want to do something, I got to override the Word of God. I got to override what I love. I got to override what I believe. But if you put the word on it, just to show you how this works. Now, you don't lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy. I'm not going to read it because we're running out of time, but let's just take a couple of examples. David, man after God's own heart, loved God, served God, worshiped God, fell into lust with Bathsheba. And his lust fell into sin, and his sin ended up with death. Uriah died because of David's lust. But David thought he got away with it. And that's all over in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I won't read it, but you can read it at your leisure. David fell out with God and actually thought he got away with it because he told him to put him, Uriah, on the front line, and when they get in the heat of the battle, pull back the soldiers. So he's fighting away, and next thing you know, he's the only one out there. And they killed him. That was David's doing. And David thought that he covered his sin because Bathsheba got pregnant, and he thought if I get rid of him, as he was trying all kind of stuff. He tried to send him home, and he was such an honorable man, he wouldn't even go sleep with his wife because he said, my men out in the field can't do it, so I won't. Right. Honorable. Nice. Man of God. David had a man of God killed, then tried to cover it up. So he took and married her. She had a kid. And Nathan comes over there, the prophet, pulled the cover off the whole thing, put every bit of it off. Said, David, you're the one. You did this. And because of that, that kid's going to pay for it. And David, who was man after, remember, he's the man after God's own heart. Yep. Amen. He fell from grace. Right. And he lost his joy. But he didn't lose his salvation. He didn't lose his love for God. Amen. He still loved God knowing his rotten. See, that's what we get sometimes. Yeah. Right. Oh, we'll do things. We'll fulfill our own lust and we'll go after our own things and we'll try to do all this. And what happens is you feed that black dog enough till you lose your joy. Right. Coming to church don't feel so good. Every time I come, the preacher talks about me. I don't feel like singing. And every time I come, they're all standing up, sit down, standing up, sit down. They all want specials, and they're all looking for me to do specials, and I don't want to do specials. I don't feel like singing nothing. And I ain't get them to testify. So you can lose your joy. You can lose your joy. You can lose your joy here because of what you do at home. Yeah. Okay, I'm just checking the temperature to make sure I'm still on the right, you know. David lost his joy. He didn't lose his salvation. He didn't lose his love for God, but he wasn't singing hosannas. He wasn't happy about it. And matter of fact, the prophet told you, because you did this, Nathan, he told him, he said, if because you did this, God's going to put his hand on your house. You'll never be where you were. And David wrote the psalm, Psalm 51. Listen to what he said, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He's talking to God. Make me to hear the joy and gladness. You can get to a point that you're not even happy to be in church. Okay, how long you been here? You can lose that joy and not even glad to be here. Then all of a sudden, it's a chore to get to the house. But I got to go, because if I don't go, people will think I'm not saved. And well, if I go, I don't like what they're saying. I'm not happy to hear the preacher. He preaching too long, on and on and on. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God's going to break you. The thing about a seed of God, when you fall from grace, when you backslide, that's not the end of it. When you backslide, you just hitting rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, nothing's going to taste good. Nothing's going to look good. Nothing's going to sound good. You hate shaking hands at church. You hate talking to people. You don't want nothing to do with it. I'd rather stay home. I'll just tune in. No joy. I get joy when I come here. I enjoy coming here. I get excited. It's so funny. I get the closer I get, because I was nervous all week about this message, which is just, that's just me. But then I'm driving here, and the closer to the time to come to church, get more and more excited about it. It's like, oh, this is going to be a good day. He said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Created me a clean heart. That's what we need, is a clean heart. You say, I've messed this one up. I've been messing up for weeks. That's okay. He can create a clean heart in you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take out this old bias, self-righteous, critical spirit, and put a new spirit in me. One that will help me to love my neighbor, love my brother, love humanity, love myself. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. Brother Brown said, you can do something, that Holy Spirit will go sit up on a limb. Just sit there. You'll feel as dry and as unholy and feel like you ain't never even been born again. But you had been. But the Holy Ghost can pull back. He can pull back and let you feel all of you. You can grieve him, and all you know is five endless to the flesh, five endless to the spirit, and he ain't touching and saying nothing to you from the soul. He can get quiet on you. Oh, he can. You say, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. When you're out there by yourself and the Holy Ghost ain't talking to you, and you know, the worst thing that can happen in a home is a husband stop talking to his wife. And sometimes the wives are so hard-headed and so far out there, she don't even know he stopped. Do you know denominations don't even know he left them? They're doing their own thing in such a way that they don't even know that God's not even there. And you can have the Holy Ghost in your life and him get quiet on you, because you refuse to submit to him. After a while, he'll stop talking to you. Amen. Oh, he'll stop. Wow. Yep. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Yeah. Unbelief. And God done deal the one, he done dwell in unbelief. He'll back up and let you live in your unbelief for a while. But if you're a seed of God, you will turn around. Right. If you're a seed of God, you will come back from your backslidden state, and you will renew your spirit with God, just like David did. So you know where you're at. You know where you're sitting. Like that old saying says, if you feel far away from God, who moved? Not him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Do you know the happiest point in your life was the day that you were born again? Because when you were born again, you woke up to the fact of who you are. And that so thrilled you to find out. And he made it in such a way that it brought joy to you. And that joy was a time stamped to where you can always look back to that point and say, that was where it happened. I'll never forget it. Just like your important points in your life. You know where you were. Well, some of you were in 9/11. You know where you were when certain things happened, high points in your life. You know where you were when you met your spouse. You know where you were when the water broke and your firstborn was coming. You know these things because it stamps in your life and it stamps in your mind. And when it comes to salvation, you remember the moment that God changed your soul because it was so outstanding. He said, well, I don't know when it happened. Oh, it happened. When did you start becoming happy? When did you start realizing that, oh, it's got it made. I got it made. It's done for me. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. That's what David wanted to get back to. He said, I've done a lot of wrong, but Lord, just take me back to where you first called me. Take me back to where I believed and let me do this thing over again. That was David. Won't read it because we're out of time. Samson, son of God, always was a son of God. God called him. God gave him a gift. God gave him a job to do. And he got that gift and he got that job, but then he had lust. And he sold out his gift. Do you realize you can sell out your gift? He said, gifts and callings are without repentance. They are, but that don't mean you have to use them. You can refuse them. You might have a gift of prophecy. But if you play that thing down, oh, that's just me. Oh, that's, and not use it, there's no good. And here, Samson had a gift. God used him. He was killing the Philistines. He was doing his job. Man, boom, boom, boom. Him and God were one. Having communication, talking all the time. Samson sold out his birthright, sold his word out, gave it to Delilah. And she sold him down the river. Told his secret, which God told him not to tell anybody. You know, the third pool is something you can't share with anybody. Some people try to do it. But he was defeated. And he got down to the end of his life. And he told him, he said, take me to the post. And he stood right into two load-bearing beams. Just so happened. And he said, Lord, you told me if I let my hair grow, that you will always be there with me. And he didn't been in prison, and they had cut off his hair, but they're stupid. Because they didn't realize it was growing back. See, the thing is, all you do is get back into the house of God. Get back to where you were. It's like, I see Tommy. Tommy, you're right where you belong. Just once more is what Samson said. Just once more, Lord, I know you promised me you're going to do this, and I am at a point right now I need you. Do this one more time, Lord. Fulfill your word one more time. See, you can come out of a backslidden condition and get back where you need to be. You say, well, all the way up until today, I've been into trouble. I've been having troubles and problems. You know what, how easy it is to turn around? Repent means just to turn around. We make repentance some big, oh, I got to whip myself and I got to do all this and God, I got to take my shoes off and walk around. No, just turn around. That's how simple that is. Change your mind. I was doing this, and now I decided, you know what? I'm going to go with the Lord. That's how simple it is. Don't need a big speech. Don't need, oh, world, I'd like for you all to understand that I... Shut up. No, just turn around. We don't need to understand. We don't need to know anything. When people have problems and they fall out and they come back, and I don't even ask them where they've been. It's between you and God. That's what I told the Kentucky group when they come up. I said, don't worry about trying to explain where we've been for the last 4 or 5 years. It's none of our business. All we got to do is turn around. Went back to fellowshipping and looked like we ain't missed a beat. And the whole time we're blocking and covering for each other and standing in the gap. And when we and see, and that's another thing. When somebody does fall on their face, you need to cover for them. You need to try to stand in the gap because it's much easier. You know, Brother Childers always said, you got to pass every person on the way back in that you passed on the way out. If you don't burn your bridges on the way out, you don't have to try to apologize to everybody on your way in. Just come back. That's all we care about. We don't care about where you've been and what you've been doing. Thank God you had a chance to come back. Proverbs 28, verse 14, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. If you don't listen to the word, you are going to get into mischief. You will do it. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We know that. See, I get down to this part, and I just start throwing scriptures at y'all, because I know it's getting late, and we got services this evening. Psalms chapter 16, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Joy, joy, happiness, peace. Those are all the words that associated with Christians. Amen. Not bogged down, weighed down. Oh yeah, we got to take up our cross and follow him. But that's with joy. We run this race with patience. We do the things that we do because we're happy. The joy is of my salvation is right in front of me all the days of my life. And I am full of joy. He said over there in Romans 8, he said, if you don't suffer with him, you can't reign with him. So you go through trials. We all go through trials. We go through troubles and we get tested. And Brother Branham said, I got the quote there. He said that the bride gets tested. And we're not tempted by God, but we're tested by God. God will throw you in a test to see what you're going to do. God will throw you in a test to make you stronger. Do you know I'm stronger every time I come out of a test? I am. Every time I come out, I'm stronger. Want a little more. Stand a little taller. More secure than I was when I went in. More joy than when I went in. Because you find out that he's there with you all the time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. The noun for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You might be going through some stuff right now, people. But don't worry about that. Because verse 7 says, the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory and appearance of Jesus Christ. I don't care what we go through. When we come out of it, we're going to praise God. We do. We went through church splits. And when we went through church splits, we come out stronger, praising God. We had people leave. We get stronger and praise God. God knows what he's doing with us. We're not going to control these things, but we need to understand that God's given us enough joy and enough everything that we can get the job done. Revelation 19, and I heard there was a voice, a great multitude, as it were the voice of many waters, and the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife have made herself ready. We're ready now. So all we got to do now is rejoice. We've got joy. It's the joy of our salvation. David wanted his restored. If you need it restored in your life today, it can happen right now. Just, Lord, amen, restore to me the joy, just like it did when I first believed this message and said it was right. Amen. Don't let me walk out of here down and out. There's no reason to. There's no reason to when he's taking care of it all. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our salvation. And that's why this bride, she can hold her head up in the midst of it all. And we'll do the best. We will do the best we can to do the right thing. We will. And you say, I don't want to do the best. Well, you need more joy. Because when you get enough joy, you're like, Lord, I want to do your will. I come to do thy will, O God. That's what Jesus said. And that's what the bride is saying. We come to do your will. That's why we're here. We're here to do thy will. And Lord, if you will help me, and give me joy, and give me peace, and solve my problems, and give me answers, and push me through. I will use it for your glory. Amen. When it's all said and done, it's God getting the glory anyway. It's not about our glory. It's not about our joy. Our joy just helps us get through this life. When you realize he's got it all, the joy of the Lord should make you stronger. and realizing that, God, you have my whole entire life mapped out. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So I can't mess it up. Oh, I get in a backslidden state when I mess up and I do this or I do that. But you know, you can turn right around. Say, Father, forgive me. Father, help me. Help me to be stronger. Help me to overcome it this time. Help me overcome my lust this time over that. Help me to push forward. Make me stronger. Because that's where I get my joy from. And when I have that joy, everybody else that looks at me can see it's real. And they'll want some of what you have. That's the best thing you can do. That's what draws people. It's not all your talk and a bunch of stuff, but you have joy. And they see you getting over everything and getting through everything, and they'll want what you have. Make them thirsty. For the joy of my salvation is the Word of God made flesh in me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Word today. Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and we should have joy. There's no reason why we should have our heads down and out. Christ is with us now. And Lord, we know who we are. We know what it is that you're doing in the hour that we're living in. And Lord, let us hold our head up and let the joy of the Lord run our lives in such a way that when people look at us, they'll see the joy coming out of us and give you the praise. If some of us are relaxing a little bit and laying back, Lord, restore the joy of their salvation to them so that they can see that, Lord, this is more important than anything this little world can offer. And Father, make us stronger. Make us stand stronger so that others can see your good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Thank you for this group, Lord. I love this church. I love this body. And ask you to continue to be with us as we press towards the mark of the high calling. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. If that can't make you happy, I don't know what to tell you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's His joy. He just gives it to me. Come back this evening. Bible study starts at 7. And Mercy rewrote my life in the key of G. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen.